Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. I don't know how many times I've played it. Nobody's figured out the TV theme yet. So you're all busted on that. Everybody loses. That was the theme from a terrific show in the 1960s wartime drama called 12 O'Clock High. Pick out something else for next week. James Bostic here. Conservative's perspective on the Patriot Nation radio network here at Blog Talk Radio. We do it live twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we have a recorded version of the program as well that goes out on the Mojo 5.0 radio network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, well, you might want to rethink that, because you should be. Some of the very best of libertarian and conservative talk radio out there, not to mention the outstanding programming that you got right here on Patriot Nation Radio Network. Conservatives' perspective goes without saying, but we're going to say it. And that's not all. We got a couple other programs that are just a couple of firecrackers. Mark Hoffman, my wingman, low these many years with Patriot Nation Radio Live Thursdays, 8 p.m., right after our hour version of this show. And Gary Binford with United Patriots Uprising on every other Monday. He's knocking it out of the park every other Monday, and you got to check that out. Go to the archive. Not now, after the show's over, but go to the archive and check him out. Gary Binford, United Patriots Uprising. I still really don't know what we're going to talk about, and that's, you know, it's a bad habit of mine. I will create radio programs and not have the slightest idea of what we're going to talk about. So while I think about that, you cats dig this. A little something from Jen Psaki.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I often note I'm going to circle back. I hate to disappoint conservative Twitter, but I am going to circle back on a number of things, as we often do directly.
I'll circle back.
I hate to disappoint you.
Circle back.
That's an excellent question.
Circle back.
I hate to disappoint you, but we will venture to circle back.
Okay,
this is such a good question. I have not had the opportunity to dig into that. I'll circle back.
It was a massive dump. To this day, everyone's trying to figure out, where did it come from?
I'm not aware of anything, but we'll circle back.
This uncircumcised Philistine, who does he think he is?
As a mom myself, I want to know all the details. I have to circle back.
Come on, man.
You know what I mean?
I will venture to get you an answer on that, and maybe we can talk about it, and you'll circle back. I will have to circle back on that one.
Circle back.
But we'll circle back.
Circle back.
But I will have to circle back with you.
Circle back.
Let me give you a very specific example.
Yay!
I'll circle back.
Circle back.
I hate to disappoint you.
Circle back.
Circle back. That's an excellent question.
Circle back.
Circle back. I hate to disappoint you, but we will venture to circle back.
This president knew back in January. Why didn't he tell us? Why did he warn us?
There are a number of ways to combat misinformation. One of them is circle back.
Told us that Trump was invincible and Hillary was in a prison, right?
I don't really have any predictions for you on that. I can circle back. Let me see if I can get more detail for you on that.
Circle back.
I signed something saying that if I'm wrong, I can go to prison.
Did you? We'll try to get to as many questions as possible.
I'll circle back.
I don't have anything more for you.
We'll circle back.
And that communication has been lacking.
Circle back.
Well, as you know,
we'll circle back.
Let me give you a very specific example.
Yay!
I'll circle back. I hate to disappoint you,
circle back with all of you.
What the fuck, bro?
Did I actually hear somebody say, uncircumcised Philistine? Did somebody say that in there? That's what I thought I heard. These kids today with their hair and their music is. Jen Psaki featuring Lil K there with a circle back girl. Heard that over the weekend and I said, yeah, man. Yeah. And I don't even, you know, dig that kind of stuff, but I thought that was pretty cool. I may have to play something else because I'm still not too sure what I'm going to talk. I've kind of got it lined out, man. I mean, you know, I'll say that a lot of times, you know, really it is. It's just random neural firings when I get on here. I'll have like a framework, and sometimes I stick to it. Sometimes it just gets blown the hell right out the window. Psaki. Well, I guess since we're going there. Has anybody noticed? Good news. I have heard this. You know, Joe Biden is, he makes great hay out of his Catholic faith. And as Catholics across the country are giving up things for the Lenten season, Joe Biden, as I said earlier, a really devout Catholic. He's so devout, in fact, that he has agreed to give up something near and dear to his heart for the 40 days of Lent. Of course, I'm talking about executive orders. God calls on us to sacrifice something we love, and I'm going to do my best to refrain from signing unilateral executive orders for the next 40 days, he said in a speech. I thought about giving up sniffing hair, fumbling over my words, or angrily shouting at reporters. I sound like Joe Biden. Or angrily shouting at reporters who questioned me for Lent. But no, in the end, it had to be executive orders, my true love. Sources also claim Biden had considered giving up his support of abortion for Lent. But Catholic Church says you're not really supposed to give up sin for Lent, just pesky little habits or something you enjoy. Besides, Biden said there was no way he could give up his support for baby murder for that long. At publishing time, Biden had caved in a moment of weakness and signed 47 executive orders, though he's promising to renew his commitment and do better tomorrow. No, I'm not making it up, man. I saw it on the internet. This week, not dead air, I'm just trying to figure out how to say this. Last week, in the great state of Texas, there was a facility, a immigrant, not an immigrant really, an illegal alien detention facility. And this facility was one that was used during the Trump administration. And it was at this particular facility in Texas where the unaccompanied children, the unaccompanied minors, were taken. And then this is where they were. And it was this particular facility that brought on the Kids in Cages song and dance routine. You guys remember the Kids in Cages? And then they trot out these pictures, and all this stuff was ginned up. It was all ponied up, to be a frame on President Trump. And so what they did is they had these kids in these little cyclone fence, chain link fence containment areas. And that's where they said, you know, Donald Trump's keeping kids in cages. Well, that was a straight up, flat out, freaking ass lie. He wasn't doing anything of the kind. The Obama administration had done that because the photographs that they used to frame up the Trump administration came from back in 2014. So President Biden is doing an interview with Mexican television, Mondo Vision. No, not Mondo. Omnivision. Maybe, yes, Omnivision. Jorge Ramos, those kind of guys. Well, so he's doing an interview. Biden's doing an interview with these people. Let me see if I got it. Man, I really hope I got that. And they're talking about this particular facility because this facility has been opened up, and it's been opened up in anticipation of all these kids. Now, this is, before we get into the kids in cages thing, this is the next thing I want to talk about. And this is a question that's been bothering me for a while since I started reading about this. Depending on who you talk to in the news, they're talking about literally thousands, and maybe more, maybe tens of thousands of kids, unaccompanied kids, coming across the border now. I am not a particularly smart fella. I have a one-size-fits-all Board of Regents. You guys know what a Board of Regents degree is? Well, what that is if you've burned up and farted around and basically just beat in enough time in college. And maybe you don't have a math, maybe you don't have a major, maybe you don't even have a minor, or maybe it's changed a million times. And they kind of, well, okay, look, pal, you got 128 hours of something. Well, yeah. Congratulations, son. You got a one size fits all Board of Regents degree. You've successfully accomplished, something. You've passed a few classes enough somewhere along the line, and all the times you've changed your mind with various different majors. Here you go. Take this and get the hell out of here. Godspeed. And that's what I got. So it's a one-size-fits-all, off-the-rack bachelor's degree. That's it. But when they talk about all these unaccompanied children, what I see in my mind can't be. It just simply can't be. I have in my mind literally thousands of kids. Okay, because that's what they tell us, right? Thousands of kids, all right, unaccompanied. No moms, no dads, no. No aunt, no uncle, no grandma, nobody, just kids, okay? Operating independently. And all these thousands of kids decided, you know, si si puede to America. And so they got together, all these thousands of kids, these tens of thousands of kids. And they're coming from Guatemala. They're coming from the southern tip of Mexico. They're coming through rugged terrain, hot. So we're getting equatorial here in the southern part of Mexico. All right, we're in the tropics. It's hot, desert, no water. Now, it would seem to me that if this were the case, and I'm not saying that it isn't, and I may not fully understand this issue, but I'm a pretty good friend with Michael Cutler, and that ought to count for something, and I've heard him talk about this crap a million times. There must be, and maybe nobody's talking about it. This immigration route from Guatemala all the way through Mexico into the United States must literally be littered with the bodies of dead kids. Seriously. Even if the older ones were taking, you know, looking after the younger ones, it's going to be strewn with dead children. And if the end result is tens of thousands, at the end result, what in the hell did they start out with? It's a question for another time, but it just it So Joe Biden and his wife, have you noticed Joe hasn't gone anywhere without a handler? He hasn't given a State of the Union address. This is March, people. We haven't had a State of the Union address. Anyway, he's with his wife, the ever-present, ever-elder-abusing Dr. Jill Biden. And like I said, one of these Mexican television chick. Here we go. They're talking. Now, remember, we're talking about the kids in cages, okay? Kids in cages. This facility that they're going to be discussing in this interview is the same facility. The Biden administration has opened the damn thing back up, and they're going to be shoveling kids in there just as soon as they can find any of them alive at the border. Here's what we've got. This is what he had to say.
Important. Mr. President, in the 5 weeks you've been in office, you have been taking many actions to revert Trump administration's anti-immigration policy. But today, the Washington Post reports that your administration has plans to open tents at Del Rio, a town close to the border. Can you confirm that?
Well, what I can confirm is there's over 70, right now there's thousands of immigrants, thousands of unaccompanied children coming across the border. Mm-hmm. We've been able to place a significant number of them in licensed facilities throughout the country, shelters throughout the country. But what happened is in Texas, they opened up one that was a former one used in the administration, in the last administration. Our hope and expectation is that won't stay open very long, that we'll be able to provide for every kid who comes across the border safely to be housed in a facility that's licensed. And what we're trying to do, and we have literally hundreds of people doing it now, connect them with families in this country. Get them to the families that they came to see or they're looking for. And we've already connected thousands of them for that way. And so that's our hope, is to unite these children with families while they wait to have a hearing.
And this administration is doing it in a humane way. And that's really important. I mean, we want to make sure that these children are safe, that they get mental health services, they get physical health services, they get education. So we are really concerned about these children.
For how long is the administration planning to have the kids in these facilities? Not only the tents that you mentioned, Mr. President, but also the other facilities that look like portable containers, or I don't know how
cages.
Can you call them. But really brings bad memories from the kids in cages. And how is it different from
Well, it's much different in terms of
we have people there
helping them. We have people that are in those facilities taking care of them. But my hope is they all are able to get out. Are able to get into licensed facilities and or be united with family members here in the United States.
On other topic, I wanted to...
No, that's just... The difference, okay, well, yeah, there could be kids in cages, but the difference is we're going to have people there to help them. See, the Trump administration, what they did, this is where they screwed up. You know, they just put those kids in cages and walked the hell out. They just left. They just walked. Just put them in the cages and left. We're not going to do that, okay? Our cages are cages of love. Our cages are cages of compassion. We're going to have people stay there. We're just not going to put these kids in cages and walk away. Why, hell, that would be inhumane. No, we're going to put them in cages and we're going to hang around and help them. And it's my hope, as President of the United States, that they don't have to stay there. Joe, son, you're the president. You don't have to hope. You can pick up a damn phone and say, close that facility. It's my hope and expectation we'll get them out of there. Cages of love, man. We just put these kids in cages of love. And we'll dole some of them out to some psychological therapy cages and some others to some medical health physiological health cages. It's different, man. It's different. Don't you get it? Meanwhile, right at over 100,000 people have died from coronavirus during the Biden pandemic. First month in office, 100,000 people died. That's a couple times more than what we lost in Vietnam. So why haven't we had a State of the Union address? Why haven't we had one? It's March. Why hasn't the president, Joe Biden, been in a press conference on his own? Without anybody there to hold his hand, figurative or literally, either one. This guy's been in Washington 47 years, man. He's been to a few pressers in his day. At one time, he was operating independently. Why the change now? Well, we know why the change. The difference is we'll have people there to help.
Ah, mother of pearl.
What? He's taken a lot of heat for this. I mean, there are people who have been consistent in their criticisms, even though I'm going to go ahead and give the Biden administration the benefit of the doubt, and I'm going to say that they are not going to run those facilities any less humanely than the Trump administration ran them. And the Trump administration did an outstanding job, regardless of what you may have heard in the media. It's my hope that we can get them out of there. Dude, you're the president. You can make it happen with a phone call. Move those people out of there into a decent area and close that place down. But they're not going to do that. They're going to keep this place open because there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, it's a clever idea. And what they've done is they've taken, and she's correct, they've taken shipping containers, big, you know, bulk metal shipping containers, and they've turned them into, you know, these dormitory type areas that they can put these kids in. They have electric hookups. They have air conditioning. I mean, and the tent cities are going to be the same way. It's not going to be like out was it Maricopa County where Sheriff Joe Arpaio was? It's not going to be those kind of tent cities. Believe you me, those tent cities will have air conditioning. They'll have services. They'll have everything those people need. Everything those people need. Not dead air. Not dead air. Cages of compassion. Cages of caring. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Now, what was and again, back, no State of the Union. Why have we not had a State of the Union? Anybody, can somebody tell me that? Somebody unafraid to tell me that? I know why. Okay, let me just put it this way. Can you imagine Joe Biden doing a 90-minute speech without a teleprompter, maybe some prepared notes, no teleprompter, 9:30 at night Joe Biden. Yeah, that's why you haven't seen one. He can't function. If they were to do that, if they were to do that, I don't think they could pull it off. I don't think they could pull it off if they put him to sleep for 2 days ahead of time. And while they were doing that, had an IV continuously running with some kind of cognition-enhancing cocktail. I just don't think it would happen. I just don't think they could do it. And I think they think that, too. That's why they haven't done it. Now, the Constitution says periodically the president has to do it. The annual televised address, blah, blah, blah. That's not mandatory. Jefferson used to write him a letter because he had a very thin, reedy voice, and it was difficult for him to speak to large crowds. So he would write him a letter. But when you and I think of the State of the Union, we think of what we see at night. All the pomp and ceremony, all the, you know, the senators coming in, the House of Representatives coming in, and everybody's there, and the Supreme Court justices are all sitting up front, and it's hail to the chief, and he comes down glad-handing, fiving, and low-fiving, and chest-bumping, and rubbing elbows, and all this stuff with everybody, and then he comes up and he does his speech. He can't do that. I think that the light and the busyness and all that mess and distraction, you know, he would blow a fuse before he even got to the podium. Honestly, folks, how many of you can see Joe Biden? Let's just talk about the first term. Let's just talk about the first 4 years. How many of you people realistically see this cat getting through it? Take a look at what's happened to his cognitive levels in the last 2-3 years. What will they be 3 years from now? And like I said, all things being equal, let's just take this current level, this current rate of deterioration. I know it's unfair. You know, I'm not even, you know, I don't. My background in gerontology and geriatrics is limited to playing bingo and getting everything set up for the Friday afternoon croquet match. That, because I was an activities director and I loved it. But I'm telling you guys, and I'm not saying it with any joy. I'm not saying it with any kind of gratification or anything like that. I have worked closely on a daily basis with folks who are experiencing cognitive decline or some kind of thought process disorder. It doesn't have to be Alzheimer's. Then there's a lot of different names for it. There's Alzheimer's, there's senile dementia, there's organic affect syndrome, there's organic brain affect. I mean, there's all these different names. But they're just thought process disorders. And they are not uncommon in the elderly, and Joe Biden, 79 damn years old. It's not an accident, people, that Joe Biden, you know, this isn't something that just tragically sprung up on him the moment he took his hand off the Bible from being administered the oath of office. This has been going on for a while. And the people that have been running this know it. You and I know it. We've talked about it. We can be condemned and we can be criticized because we say, well, look at all these people, these armchair psychologists that said Donald Trump was crazy. And you guys got all over them. Yeah, we did. That's true. And I'm not diagnosing the guy, but I am saying the symptoms and the behaviors that we see are all consistent with having every known indication of being in that condition. Yes, we're just lay people. No, we're not doctors. But, you know, many of us have lived long enough and had experiential background in recognizing these symptoms. We don't have to be trained gerontologists. He's not going to be. I just don't see it. I mean, I have two years tops is what I'm thinking. 2 years tops, and there's going to be something's going to happen. It's either going to be something manufactured, or it's going to be something that when they implement it, they're going to be doing so because Joe Biden no longer has the cognitive faculties to defend himself from what they're going to do. Now, they're not going to kill him. They're not going to toss a toaster in the shower with him. I really don't think that. But the decline is going to be obvious. At some point, they're going to have to say, hey, we're just going to ease him out. You know, we may tell him he's probably going to forget, and we're not going to worry about it too much after that. He's going to be moved out, man. We're going to have Kamala Harris take the oath of office. What else can happen? And again, how realistic is the idea that Joe Biden's going to finish out this term? How many of you actually think that? Because I don't. I never did. Well, actually, I never thought that some bitch would win, to be honest with you. I'm still stunned that, you know. But anyway, really, can you see Joe 4 years? What do you think Joe's going to be like 4 years from now? Okay? What's he going to be like? The guy that says this, what's he going to be like?
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact invades and free in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact that's when things begin to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Okay. All right. I mean. Or maybe this.
The case where we cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never let our democracy take second fiddle. We can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test?
Because your mind's gone, Joe.
That's like saying you got in this program, if you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not, what do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to President Trump, who brags about his test and makes your mental state an issue for voters?
Well, if he can't figure out the difference between an elephant and a lion, I don't know what the hell he's talking about. Did you watch that? Look, come on, man. I know you're trying to goad me, but I mean, I'm so forward looking to have an opportunity to sit with the president or stand with the president in debates. There's going to be plenty of time. And by the way, as I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say. Anyway, I am very willing to let the American public judge my physical and mental my physical as well as my mental fitness.
What? Oh, God. Oh, have mercy, people. Have mercy. And this, okay, so seriously, 4 years from now, what's that going to be like? Because I promise you, in the here and now, that is Joe's edge. Okay, that is as sharp as a boy is going to get. Okay, well, we're running a little bit late on that. I'm going to take a little musical break. All this talking makes a man thirsty. I got to go get something to drink, and we will be back with more of all this. We'll be back with more of all this right after this.
Simon here. We're mass communicating.
But, hey, there's scandals on the other side, too. Andrew Cuomo in New York, you read about that? Now he's got a sexual harassment scandal. Some woman in the office says he shouldn't have been flirting. I don't know, you know, that's what she's kissing. That shouldn't have happened. The jokes that were not good. I know it sounds cheap. It was actually very romantic. He said to her, I want to grow old with you and then put you in a home and cover up your death. But American politics, it's so screwed, right?
Look, we have to be able to say we did everything we can, right? We have to look at that death number every day. 166 people died. The only way you put your head on the pillow at night is you say, I did everything I could.
Kill each one of those people.
They had a hospital bed. They had the best nurses. They had the best doctors. They had ventilators. They had the best treatment. We did everything
we
could.
And we still killed them in spite of
all
that.
Up until today, as I am before you, I can look you in the eyes and say we did everything that we could. As a society, you can't save everyone. You're going
to
lose people.
Kill each and every one of those folks.
That's somebody else is in charge of that. Much higher pay grade. But we did everything we could. I want to make sure the same is true until this is over. We did everything we could. And testing staff twice a week, yes, it's onerous, and I understand it's a pain, but we have to do everything we could do.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of a gold standard.
Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York. Donald Trump caused the COVID outbreak in New York. That is a fact. It's a fact that he admitted, and the CDC admitted, and Fauci admitted. The China virus. It was not the China virus. It was the European virus that came to New York. They missed it. The China virus went to Europe. It got on a plane. It went to Europe.
You lying.
They never even thought of the possibility. And then 3 million Europeans got on the plane and came to New York. And they brought the virus. January, they brought the virus. February, they brought the virus. March, they brought the virus. And in mid-March, the federal government does a travel ban from Europe. Mid-March, too little, too late, Mr. President. He caused the COVID outbreak in New York. Fact, of the 613 nursing homes, we have 613 nursing homes in the state. 365 received a person from a hospital.
How can you tell when
the of the 365 that received a person from this March 25th guidance, which was then superseded in May? 98% of those 365 already had COVID in their hot facility.
The nursing homes. We didn't
COVID
bring it with
did
those
not
people.
Get into the nursing homes
no.
by people coming from hospitals.
No.
COVID
it's
got into
in
the nursing homes by
when
staff
no one was looking.
Walking into the nursing home when we didn't even know we had COVID.
We didn't
staff
even know
walking
COVID
into a nursing home even though they were asymptomatic.
Didn't matter.
Because the national experts all told us you could only spread COVID if you had symptoms. And they were wrong.
Yes.
COVID may have been brought into a nursing home because visitors brought it in and didn't know they were contagious because the guidance was you can only be contagious if you have symptoms, if you're sneezing, if you're coughing. That turned out to be wrong. That's how COVID got into the nursing homes. 98% of the people who took a person back from a hospital
who was probably no longer contagious, already had it in the facility. And they signed and agreed that they could handle it because they already had people who were COVID in the nursing home. If you look at the rate of death before the March 25th order and after the order was rescinded, the rate of death is the same. A third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only, but we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, 28, died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
Boom. And right there, he told you. He told us all how they were going to make the cover up. Right there. He just said it. So 33 die in a hospital, 40 die in a nursing home. Who cares? We care. Because you know what? It was those people who died in the hospitals that were sent from nursing homes who were dying with COVID or died with COVID that they did not count as nursing home deaths, but they were. And this is the thing, and this is, you know, look, he's responsible for this, and he's not alone. He is not alone. He does not stand out in the crowd when it comes to this. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Now, we're not going to look at any of the intentional nose tweaking or rejection or dunking on Donald Trump because of their hatred of him. He built the largest hospital in the United States at the Javits Center. He converted that into the largest hospital in America. Nobody had to go back to a nursing home. For 3 weeks, the United States Navy hospital ship USS Comfort stood in New York Harbor, treated less than 100 people. Could have treated 1,000 of whatever kind of cases intentionally underutilized. March 25th, 2020, under the heading of Andrew M. Cuomo, Governor Howard Zucker, Commissioner of the New York Department of Health, Sally Dreslin, Master of Science, Registered Nurse, as the Executive Deputy Commissioner. COVID-19 has been detected in multiple communities throughout New York State. There is an urgent need to expand hospital capacity in New York State to be able to meet the demand for patients with COVID-19 requiring acute care. As a result, this directive, not guidance, directive, is being issued to clarify expectations for nursing homes who are receiving residents returning from hospitalization and for nursing homes accepting new admissions. Hospital discharge planning staff and nursing homes should carefully review this, and all staff directly involved in resident resident admission, transfer, and discharges. During this global emergency, this global health emergency, all nursing homes must comply with the expedited receipt of residents returning from hospitals to nursing homes. The residents are deemed appropriate for return to a nursing home upon a determination by the hospital physician or designee that the resident is medically stable for return. Who qualifies as a designee? A nurse? A physician's assistant? Travis, the guy that runs the buffer on the night show? I mean, who's the designee? They don't tell you. You don't know. that or the you know, that the resident's medically stable for return. No resident shall be denied readmission or admission to the nursing home solely based on a confirmed or suspected diagnosis of COVID-19. You may know for sure they have it. You may suspect that they have it based on their symptoms, but you can't do anything about it. You got to let them come back in. Nursing homes are prohibited from requiring a hospitalized resident who is determined medically stable to be tested for COVID-19 prior to admission or readmission. You couldn't even test them prior to bringing them back. You had to take the word of the attending physician or Travis, the floor buffer guy, that these people were good to go to send them back. They had no choice. Now, we have found out since that time that because of this policy, it was only in place for a couple of months. I think the policy was ultimately rescinded at the end of May. So it wasn't in place for that long, but at the time that it was in place, as it stands now, over 15,000 people in the state of New York lost their lives in nursing homes. Now, to compound this, the Cuomo administration cooked the books and they massaged these figures and suppressed them and underreported them to the tune of about 56%. And we know this from an investigation that was brought up by Attorney General Letitia James, who isn't really altogether that credible. And she has political aspirations of her own, and I'm guessing the next step is the governor's mansion. In August, as this story was starting to blossom a little bit with what was going on, New York lawmakers in Albany wanted to know what was happening. They wanted information from the Cuomo administration concerning this tremendous loss of life in their nursing home population. Well, it was also at this time that the Department of Justice had opened up an investigation into what was going on there as well. And they were asking the Cuomo administration for information on this stuff as well. Well, the Cuomo administration knew that if they gave anybody anything, that their goose was cooked, and they had to do something to protect their phony baloney bullshit jobs, so they sandbagged and they stalled. And it was in that stalling, it was in that sandbagging of the New York legislature that this whole thing starts to unravel. But it doesn't really unravel. Within the last couple of weeks, you and I have known about this for a long time because I've been talking about it practically since it happened. Daniel Greenfield from Front Page Magazine did really all the heavy lifting on this, and he's carried it the whole way. And what I've told you is information that I've gotten from him. So, you know, I'm standing on his shoulders because he did all this work. Not dead air, just getting a drink. So this has gone on for a while, right? And people have known about it, but then all of a sudden, and they don't want to talk about it because if you'll remember, in August, we were all convinced that Joe Biden was headed for the nursing home and that Trump was headed for re-election. The Democrats were worried about Joe and his little bitty old brain. And they needed a plan B. Well, Benito Nippolini was their plan B. That's why the press didn't say anything about all this that was going on. Hell, they turned around and gave him an Emmy. He wrote a book out of this. He got a book deal, a fat book deal out of this. It's some ghostwriter wrote, Lessons in Leadership During the Pandemic, or whatever the hell it was. He got an international Emmy because his pressers concerning how the state of New York was dealing with their, you know, his bullshit stories about what a great job they were doing in dealing with this in New York got him an Emmy at these press conferences. So then the truth comes out. The truth comes out that he's cooked the books on the death rate and the death toll in the nursing home community by half, 56%, over half. And so then it finally comes out, well, you know, they killed over 15,000 people. The Democrats hardly bat an eye. They don't even look up. But let a couple of chicks come out and accuse him of acting like a creep. Holy Jesus, look at what happened. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that stuff is wrong. Sexual harassment is wrong. I don't care who's doing it. I don't care which end of it is. Okay, no means no. And if these things happened, he needs to be subject to the same consequences that every other creeper is subjected to. All right, and if that, whatever that may mean. But here's the thing, again, 15,000 people, 15,000 grandmas and granddads, aunts, uncles, brothers, sisters. And you know, it's not just the elderly who live in these nursing homes. There are lots of young folks that have medical conditions that preclude them from living in the outside world. And they have to be in a facility to be cared for because of their medical needs. 15,000 of them. Meh. But one unauthorized titty grab and it's over, Jack. And I understand fully the concept of the unauthorized titty grab. You're not supposed to do it. No means no. We've already talked about that. Okay. And that's not what I'm going at here. I'm not even trying to compare them or marginalize one against the other. What I'm saying is, with Democrats, you can get away with killing 15,000 senior citizens. But if you violate one of their agendas, one of their Me Too hashtag, whatever the trending wokesterism religious tenet is of the day, you're dead meat. And that's exactly what's happened here. And there's more. There's a lot more. We got 15,000 dead in New York. And apparently some unauthorized titty grabs as well. We'll just go ahead and throw those in, and we'll give these girls the benefit of the doubt and say it's the truth. It doesn't surprise me. The guy's a creep. And so he probably did. So we have 15,000 dead senior citizens and probably quite a few youngsters. Like I said, it's not just the elderly who need to live in assisted care facilities with medical, you know, they got medical needs. So these people are dead. He killed them because of this policy. But now, after the UTGs, or whatever it is that he, you know, they've claimed that he's creeped up on them with, that they're out to cut his throat. Why? Nobody got killed. Probably mess with those girls' heads if it really did happen, because that's just bad all the way around. When I don't care if it's a male or a female, somebody's creeping on you. It's not cool. It really isn't. And I'm so, you know, But it seems to me everybody's making a much bigger deal about the UTGs than they are about 15,000 grandmothers and grandfathers, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. Fraternity brothers. Guys you used to work with. Teachers that you had. I'm not exactly sure what it is, but there is more to it than this. There's more to it than this. And like I said, Cuomo's not exclusive. Cuomo's representative. Cuomo's representative of Gretchen Whitmer, of Tom Wolf, of Phil Murphy, of Gavin Newsom, of Ralph Northam, of Jay Inslee, of Rufus Pritzker. I can't remember his first name, so we'll call him Rufus. That's a good one. In Indiana. Because all these people had policies that were the same. Every single one of them. Can you imagine what that number would be if we found out? And I'm not saying that we will, but what if we found out that all these other places, okay? Ohio, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, California, Colorado, Virginia, that's seven states. What if all of them did the same thing? What if they all likewise suppressed their death toll figures? They all did the same thing that Cuomo did. Every one of them had a similar nursing home policy concerning the COVID. Every single one of them. Somebody do the math real quick. Let's say 15,000 times those eight states. That, what was the term I heard used the other day? Democide. Yeah, democide. Where, you know, you're eliminating an entire demographic, and that's what we're looking at. But it would be a little bit larger than I think than just one segment of a demographic slice of the pie. That's 120,000 people. All across this country. California, Colorado, Washington State, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, Virginia. This coming Thursday, and while I'm talking about this, this coming Thursday, we got a terrific guest lined up. He is a former soldier, a jurist, a statesman, an outstanding fellow. The Honorable Judge Hal Morose from the state of Georgia will be on with us, and we're going to be looking at just this act, and we're going to be looking at it through the perspective of a prosecuting attorney, which is what the judge was at once in his life, and we're going to be taking a hard look at this. But everybody lost their minds when the sexual harassment, when the Me Too thing started going. Then all the people start getting upset. They're calling for resignations. They're calling for impeachments. Now, to be fair, there were some people when they found out what had happened with the suppressing of the death toll numbers in New York State itself. A lot of people got into an outrage and they started calling. Throughout the state, they don't have a recall measure, which Gavin Newsom is currently getting ready to find out about in California, thank God. But I think they do have, they can initiate impeachment proceedings in the state of New York, I think. So they're going to, you know, so, but nationwide, you didn't hear much about this. CNN wasn't gopping about this. Fox News a little bit, but you know, they're in the tank these days. Fox News is dead to me. A lot of the radio personalities are terrific, but that's pretty much a waste. But now these girls come out and they start, you know, talking about the things he said and that he did. And you know, everybody's up in arms now. And what this does is I think that it shines a very, very strong light, not only on the hypocrisy of the left, but I think it also points out very clearly certain aspects of their value systems. Okay? They want abortion up to and beyond the point of birth. You really think they care about kids? By the same token, that same eugenicist perspective and outlook in terms of euthanasia is also assisted suicide, is also something that's embraced by the left. And they don't care about old people that much either. Okay? As Governor Benito Nipolini just showed us, to the tune of 15,000 old people, doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything. Stalin said one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. And I think that attitude pervades a lot of the Democrat Party. They don't care about kids. They don't care about old people. We see it. We see it. They show it to us every day. Okay? They've showed it to us every day in ignoring and turning a blind eye to what this murdering son of a bitch has done in New York and all the other murdering son of bitches out there in all the other states that we talked about earlier, all the other Democrat enclaves where they did this. They didn't say a word. But then somebody throws out that creep flag and the world comes to a screeching halt and everybody, he's lawyered up. Okay. He's got a top flight criminal attorney representing the Cuomo administration. I'm guessing the heads, the prominent decision makers who would have enacted this murderous policy. So he's lawyered up and but again, he doesn't stand out. He's not exclusive. A bunch of Democrat governors did the same damn thing. Now, what's going to happen to them? Okay? They did the same thing. Phil Murphy did the same thing. Tom Wolf did the same thing. DeWine did the same thing in Ohio. Whitmer did the same thing in Michigan. Newsom did the same thing in Colorado. California. Inslee did the same thing in Colorado. Northam did the same thing in Virginia. Why aren't we hearing about those folks? I'm asking you, why aren't we hearing about this? These guys all did the same thing.
Third of all deaths in this nation are from nursing homes. New York State, we're only about 28% only, but we're below the national average in number of deaths in nursing homes. But who cares? 33, yeah. 28 died in a hospital, died in a nursing home. They died.
And when they died in the hospital, we didn't count them as nursing home deaths. Because it would look bad and I might go to jail.
Your governor of New York's done one hell of a job. I think he's sort of a gold standard.
We're going to take a little bit of a break. We will be back with more of a conservative's perspective right after this.
Someday I'll have me a chauffeur and a block-long limousine, EO11, EO11. Someday I'll have me a penthouse, stacks and stacks of Bowling Green, EO11, EO11. It's all a state of mind, whether or not you find out a dream, and I'll show you a man that's dead, real dead. Once I had me a dream, but that dream got kicked in the head. Dream dead. I nearly had me that chauffeur and that block long limousine, EO11. I nearly had me that penthouse, all them stacks of folding green, E11. Some judge is gonna say I'm putting you away for four score years and seven. In the meantime, E11.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Little REM telling us that it is the end of the world as we know it. Little Sammy Davis Jr. saying, well, yeah, but what are you going to do? James Bostic, a conservative's perspective here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network. I'm still thinking about this Cuomo deal. Because, I mean, this was just within a week, less, okay, within less than a week. The world turned upside down as far as Benito Nipolini was concerned over these girls. Three women have come out, and they have accused him of some inappropriate, out-of-the-way stuff. He's been a boor. He's a creep. And evidently, you know, he showed his true colors at a couple of different instances with these women, if they are to be believed. And the Me Too people say we got to believe them all the time. And even the Biden White House says, well, you know, we need to listen to these girls. I'm telling you, Cuomo's on the way out. He agreed to an investigation from an independent investigator who's going to be picked by an attorney general who wants to be the next damn governor of New York. What do you think's going to happen? Okay, these are all Democrats. And if there are no Republican throats to slit, they'll go after each other. It's that way with all fanatics. Okay, they're no different than Muslim extremists. Okay, once the Muslim extremists kill all the Jews and Christians, they're going to kill all the Muslims who disagree with them. And the Democrats are no different. If there are no Republican throats to cut, well, then let's go after, you know, I got to get this guy out of the way because I want to be governor of New York. And they're not going to feel bad about it because they're going to say, well, he did it to himself. He was a creep. He should have known sooner or later this was going to happen. This is the environment that we live in. This is the climate that people like Nipolini there created. He's out. And he probably knows he's done for. They're going to let him keep a little bit of money. They may, in time, rehabilitate his reputation to where he's accepted back into the party. Yeah, that's how the communists do things. They get you out, and then later on, after you're dead for a few years, they go, well, he wasn't so bad. Well, we're going to reinstate him. Yeah, no, it does any good. And that's probably what will happen to Cuomo. But for now, he's lawyered up. He's issued the standard non-apology. You know, you can tell when these guys, when they don't mean, and rarely none of them do. Yeah, they're sorry that they got caught. They're sorry for the consequences that, you know, their self-inflicted behavior is going to drop on them. And they always come out with these, you know, grandiose verbal ejaculations of regret and remorse, and it doesn't mean a thing. And I can guarantee you, the wider the base of individuals that someone apologizes to, the less they mean it. And because these guys, if my comments were misconstrued, I'm terribly, terribly sorry. If anybody ever thought this about me, please forgive me. I never meant it. I'm just a lovable guy. I was just being playful. Me and Chris grew up grabbing each other's titties. It's just a form of affection. I didn't mean anything bad by it, girls. Right. Okay. He didn't mean anything in his apology, is what he meant. He meant everything he did and said to you, okay? Every single thing he did, he meant it. What he didn't mean was all that crap that he said in his apology to try and worm out from underneath this. Have you ever noticed how Democrats will hold on to a guy like that? And I'm not saying it doesn't happen in the Republican Party. Yeah, there are plenty of creeps in the Republican Party as well. And I'm not gonna say that this is all one-sided. But it seems to me that when these things happen, the Republican Party, they kind of move in terms of damage control a little quicker, and by that I mean they'll censure this individual, they'll distance themselves from him. He'll be ostracized, he'll be removed, and it will be incumbent upon Republicans to do that, and they do. But Democrats really don't that much. Bill Clinton, they held on to Bill Clinton. They hold on to all these guys, all these creepers. Hell, look at Joe Biden. They've been holding on to him for years, 47 years. But it may be that, holding on to nipples here might be holding on to nipples might be that might prove to be a little painful for him. No, but holding on to this guy's going to hurt him. All right. And they're not going to. He's done. His political career, I think, is shot. I really do. I think that it's over with. I don't think that he stands a chance. But again, It's not about what happened in the nursing homes. Democrats don't care about that. Rick Levine, anybody? Oh, excuse me. Rachel Levine. The person with a penis who wants to be accepted as a person without one and actually imagines themselves to be this. I hope I can find that clip. Let me see if I can find that. I probably don't have it. I meant to get it. But Rand Paul was all over this when they were going through the I probably don't have it. God bless. That's a shame. That would have been a good one. Oh, well. I'll get it for you. I thought I had it here. That's Pennsylvania, okay? So while they were enacting these self-same policies, while Rachel Levin was the head of the Pennsylvania Board of Health, and they were doing the same thing that New York was doing, the same thing that New Jersey was doing, she took her mom out. Secretary Levin took Secretary Levin's mother, his mother, out of a nursing home and put her up in a hotel until this whole thing was over. And then when he got called on, I said, well, that was mom's idea, and we do that every now and then. We just take her and throw her in a hotel for a couple weeks. And sometimes we go by, but, the people at the Holiday Inn are so nice and they're so good to her. We really don't have to worry. I can usually just call the front desk, and they'll let me know how she's doing, or they'll connect me to her room, and I can talk to her myself. Just like in the nursing home. No different. Except Secretary Levin left your grandmother and grandfather, your mother and father, your aunts and uncles in that nursing home. to die. And that's somebody that's being, you know, they're being looked at for the Deputy Secretary of Health and Human Services. Tom Wolf in Pennsylvania, the same thing. Gretchen Whitmer, the same thing. And Gretchen Whitmer's ordered people not to talk about what they did. Why? Because they know what's coming. That's why. Same thing for Governor Newsom. When a violent thug was shot and killed by a police officer in a small city in Missouri, the Obama administration came down on the town of Ferguson with an iron fist. How is it possible that thousands, maybe as many as 120,000 nursing home residents can die, that grandmothers and grandfathers, that veterans, that more than 5% of New York's nursing home population perish? With less care than the concern about this thug in Ferguson, Missouri. What do we amount to as a country if we not only let this happen, but we let them get away with it? We know Democrats don't care about kids. We know they don't care about old people. Hell, Democrats don't care about homosexuals. They don't care about transsexuals. They don't care about minorities. They don't care about crippled children. They don't even care about abandoned puppies. No, they don't. They never have. They never will. There is nothing in humanity that you or I or anyone else could present them in the name of all that is decent and good that would sway them from caring about anything other than power. They care about power. They care about cultivating it. They care about its constant acquisition, its constant maintenance. They look to keep the power they have. They are ever forward looking into expanding the power that they have into even greater power. Now, if it aids them in their quest, their never-ending quest for power, to say that they care about gay people, that they care about transsexuals, that they care about kids and old people, that they care about that abandoned puppy, they'll tell you. They'll tell you that they care. They'll cry a little bit. They'll hold that abandoned puppy up and they'll kiss it and they'll hug it. And as soon as the camera's off, they'll throw it onto a subway track and move on to the next photo opportunity. What else can we say? What else? Change my mind. Somebody change my mind. You can't. You're not going to. But they'll tell you they care about you, Hoss. They sure will. They don't. But they'll make it seem like that till they get your vote. So again, when we talk about Benito Mussolini and the thing that he did that brought about, you know, these 15,000 deaths, yeah, it's terrible. It's hideous. It's egregious. It's heinous. It's all those things. But they're not unique. They're far from it. Probably not going to go much more beyond us talking about it. Politically, I think he's shot. He's done. It's over with. And not because of the 15,000 people he killed, but because of those, you know, those UTGs. It's terrible. It's terrible. But then on the other side, you know, if we're going to look at balance at the yin and yang of this whole thing, whatever it takes to get rid of him. Okay? And if that's the way we've got to go, you know, I don't think it's good. I don't think it's just. I don't think it's right to make a bigger deal out of a few UTGs as opposed to 15,000 people killed. But if it gets rid of him, if it kills his political career, if it ends this, okay. Okay. I don't think it's right. I'm glad that he's gone. And nobody should ever forget these 15,000 people that he killed or the other tens of thousands that have been killed by Whitmer, by Gavin Newsom, by Tom Wolf, by Phil Murphy, by Mike DeWine, by Northam. Was Governor Northam? They all did this, guys. They all did this. But we're only getting jacked up about Nipolini. We need to be getting jacked up about all of them. And every single one of them should be run out of town on a rail. Taken to the edge of town, tarred and feathered and told not ever to come back. I don't know how it gets done. I really don't. I don't know how it gets done, but I know that it has to get done somehow. I'm going to keep talking about it every chance I get because this is huge. This is terrible. And my fear is, you know, they're going to use Cuomo as their sacrificial lamb and nobody's going to say anything about these other people. Now, we can't let that happen. We can't let that happen. And all too often, we see a bunch of pomp and circumstance and hoopla and rhubarb and falderal about investigations. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. We're looking into this. All this evidence is coming to light, and then nothing ever happens. Cuomo still spends his summers in Martha's Vineyard or Connecticut, or, you know, wherever he goes. Still out there crashing weddings and dipping into the UTG bowl. You know, 15,000 Thanksgivings he might have cut short. 15,000 birthday parties or anniversaries. Or family picnics just because we wanted to get everybody together. He's not being cheated of those things. Neither is Rachel Levin, Rick Levin, Levine. Not dead air, I'm here. I was just thinking about all this mess. The most vulnerable segments of our population are what people, especially the Democrats, it just doesn't have any meaning to them, man. I mean, you see it more and more all the time. You see it more and more all the time. And if the most vulnerable among us mean nothing to them, what does? It's a rhetorical question. We already know the answer. And you know what? I think I'm fundamentally out of gas on this. I had originally scheduled for about 90 minutes, and I guess I probably should have stayed there. We went a little bit over. Not much, but that's okay. We're going to go ahead and close up shop here. Thank you so much for bearing with me this evening. This nursing home issue has been on me. A lot of different reasons, but it is. And it resonates strongly with me, and it really bothers me. And it didn't, you know, it's one place. No, it's all over the country that the Democrats did this. It eats at me. It's eaten at me for a long time. I don't know how we push it. I don't know how we bring it to light with these other places, these other states where Democrat governors engaged in these same policies. But we got to figure out how. I don't know how, but we got to figure out something. ACP is heard here Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have a recorded version of the program on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Currently also in negotiations. We're looking at another couple of platforms that are going to be picking up our programs. Really excited about that. More on that as it develops. Thank you so much for the opportunity to spend this time with you. We'll be back here on Thursday, Lord willing, and the river don't rise. And the river rose a little bit here in the Mountain State, but it's going to be on its way back down. A couple of days, we had a lot of rain over the weekend. But we will be back, Lord willing, and the river don't rise, to take a look at things as we do through a conservative's perspective. In the meantime, God bless you. God bless America. And we'll talk to you on Thursday.